Hello, everyone. We're back. Welcome to this week's Home of Pots Happy Hour. Winging your way, winging its way in rather more quickly than the last few we've had. And we've got five of us here today. Five of us have turned up. Ilona's looking at her phone at the moment.
Sorry.
Which is always... trouble is, I get every time I see you doing that, I get suspicious.
And she's then booking another ticket.
Actually, no, we're not doing a quiz at the moment, so we're okay. Yeah, or she's booking a ticket or something.
Do you know, we're going to do this like-dislike section, and I can't think of anything I dislike. So I sent a message to my husband, what don't I dislike? And he said, that's a very long list. And so I'm just reading his message. And so...
he's giving you bags
read
of content.
Read it whilst looking into the microphone.
Yes, okay, I am looking into the microphone. So that's what I was looking at. He hasn't come up with anything
okay.
good.
Okay. So there's five of us. We're all here. Stuart, Martin, Ilona,
Super
Sheena.
Bonus edition.
Super yeah. duper bonus edition. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're going... we're starting with the likes, dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, straight in there.
Straight
we had a bit of a
chit-chat
the first time we had a go at this,
chit-chat.
But we're straight into the likes
chit-chat
and dislikes.
Chit-chat was obviously knocked off. Martin.
Today, I like the movie I Swear, which I saw a couple of days ago. And it's a true story about a young man who develops Tourette's at the age of 12 and or 13. And this was in the mid-1970s.
Well, when, you would definitely think it was hormones, wouldn't you, in the 70s?
Well, that's
12
right.
or 13?
His family called it horseplay. They didn't understand it at all. And he was deeply discriminated against in school. And the struggle that he had as he was growing up was just immense. It's heartrending to watch. The two actors who portrayed him, firstly as a younger child and then as an adult, really deserve Oscars. The acting in it is immense.
Who's in it? Is there anyone we've heard of?
I don't know any of the actors. I suspect that they are all possible sort of unknowns. It's set in Scotland, actually, in Galashiels.
Oh, that's British.
Yeah. In the Scottish borders.
Border country.
I say it like that so that Sheena understands.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, no worries.
Rugby country, is it, Galashiels?
Uh-huh. It is. We've just been there.
But I suspect these are unknown actors. It would be my guess. But I'm not going to go into the full plot because it's in cinemas now and I thoroughly recommend it to absolutely everyone to go and see because it's a roller coaster of a film to watch. It just stirs your emotions from top to bottom. It really is immense. And what this man goes on to achieve in his life subsequently is just immense and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I would just say to everyone, go and see
What's it called again?
I Swear.
I Swear.
I Swear.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sold.
I might do that.
Well, my like is the anticipation of the Wicked film that's coming out. Because I'm very excited. It's coming out on the 21st of November. So soon. Yeah, Friday. And I'm very excited because I'm seeing all the build up and all the premieres. And there was a TV program on Sky and they were singing the songs. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to going to see that.
Why is Wicked so popular? Because it's something that's just completely flown over my head.
Well, it was very good.
I've never seen it.
I have seen it. It was good on stage. I did like it on stage, but I really did like the film. The first film was really, really very good. I love the music. The music's great.
It's the music.
The story's great, but particularly the music, I think,
for me. My kids are obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Really?
I remember your girls singing
it
when they were tiny for us.
I loved it, for years and years.
Yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
I reckon if I heard a song, I wouldn't know it was from Wicked.
Me too.
And it's been going for years, isn't it?
Mm. The songs are brilliant. The music is very good.
Yeah, I've seen it live. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it is. It's good. So that's my like.
Love it.
And my like is after a trip up to Bonnie Scotland, to Edinburgh, to see the All Blacks. Just forgotten how amazing one of the big rugby games is at Murrayfield. Mm. Just the atmosphere and the drums and the bagpipes. Oh, we just had such a ball and it was lovely to see the camaraderie between both teams. It didn't matter really who won, you know.
Is it... I've always quite fancied the idea of going to Murrayfield. I mean, the tickets are just ridiculous expensive, aren't they, for those matches. But is it very much a different type of crowd to the Tartan Army who go to the football?
Oh, completely different.
Yeah. It's much more middle class, yeah. Just like it is in England.
Oh,
it
is, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still, when they play England, obviously, there's still a little bit of a vibe then, yeah. Not so good. But any of the other teams, you know, they're just, they love to come to Edinburgh because yeah. They know they're going to be so well received.
And it's a good atmosphere in the city, I suppose.
Oh, it's a fantastic,
it?
Yeah. It's just gone from strength to strength. Yeah.
I love how friendly rugby crowds are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Me
I mean,
too.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Do you remember
so
when
nice.
We went to Lansdowne Road, went to Dublin to watch the rugby?
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. Because then the bars were like these little houses on the corner of the
that's right.
The field, pitch field, what's it called? I was drinking the Guinness. I was having the Guinness. So,
but,
yeah.
You were mostly over there for the booze, weren't you, really? Yeah. Yeah. Do you like Guinness?
I love Guinness.
Do you? Good. I like that a lot.
I love Guinness.
I've just been to Dublin with the family, with the kids and stuff, and gosh, they can drink me under the table. But I love Guinness, but I have to admit, I have to put a little bit of blackcurrant cordial.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And when you go to the bar, they really don't like
they
that.
They hate it. I remember going with you, and you asked
some of them refuse.
Do you remember when you asked for a Guinness top? That was possibly the lowest point, because they were like, no, you're not having that. So then you said, okay, can I have some blackcurrant in it? No.
But it is like toffee, isn't it? It's very creamy and it's so different
Guinness,
from...
Yeah. Although this business of it being better in Ireland, I think that's a lot of old bollocks.
They I don't agree.
I'm utterly convinced.
I don't agree with you one bit.
It's so much better in Ireland.
It's just got a creaminess.
I know, I don't believe, because it's out of the same factory. Now, if you were to get... Let's say if you had a pint of Guinness, you know, in the Temple Bar, it's only about 3 miles from where it was brewed. But if you had a Guinness in the Connemara... It's actually closer to Liverpool than it is, and it's still got to be shipped there and everything
but
else.
But I'll tell you what the difference is, and my husband explained this to me because I was asking him that very question, and he said the difference is all the bars in Ireland that serve Guinness, they treat it like it is gold. So they clean the pipes. The way they sort of hold it and prepare it is completely different from bars all over the world.
That's suggesting that bars in London don't do that.
They don't. Some of them
not
do,
all of
actually.
Them.
A couple of them are quite famous for, aren't they, in Soho. Mm. But they don't have the same gentle care that they do in Ireland.
Yeah,
it's like,
I'm liking that. Right.
Well, I'm having it.
Yeah. I'm with you, Sheena.
We're Irish, aren't we?
Yeah, so we're allowed.
Are you Irish?
My mum was Irish.
Oh,
yeah.
Is she?
So
well, there you go.
Right, so my like is a programme called Wild Cherry, sounding remarkably like a porn site.
It sounded remarkable, like the band who brought out Play That Funky Music. Did you know that?
I love how he looks at Delona when he says about the Wild Cherry, about being...
Because he knows that it's a probably... What sort of programme is it? Because it's sort of stuff
porn.
I wouldn't
No, it's when
to.
He said no, porn. He looked right
at Delona. Is it mucky?
Anyway, Stuart, carry on.
Anyway, it is about a very posh girls' school, probably in the Surrey countryside, who have some very disruptive teenage girls who have been posting stuff, and the whole story gets bigger and bigger. And the first couple of episodes were a bit of a tough watch. You think, oh, I'm not quite sure. Lovely houses, lovely sort of, you know, scenery. But my God, what a twist at the end of it. What a twist. So I managed to binge watch it last night and I've got totally stuck into it. So I would thoroughly recommend. You've got to stick at it, but it's just the twist at the end.
How many
is worth
episodes
it.
Are there?
Six episodes.
Six,
about 50 minutes an episode.
Oh,
so
right, okay.
Classic TV fare at the moment. Wild Cherry. Get it on BBC and get it on the iPlayer. I'll give you a stew guarantee.
Is it aimed at younger viewers? Is it on BBC Three?
No, it's on BBC One on Saturday night.
It's on BBC
so,
One,
yeah,
right.
9 o'clock Saturday. So it's, you know, your normal sort of Saturday
I
night.
I might
fare.
Give it a whirl then. Mm. Well, I haven't really got anything I like. I quite like, this time of year, I quite like the Rayo app. The Rayo is like a radio company that owns loads of radio stations. It owns, well, Planet Rock, very importantly, and Kerrang. And it also owns Absolute and Magic and loads of them. And I was fiddling around with the app on the way down here and I discovered Magic Christmas, wall-to-wall Christmas songs. And by the time I got down here, I was already sick of what's her name.
That's been out since September.
The tree.
That's been out
Has
since
really?
September. They come out in September.
Bloody
yeah.
hell. Yeah, it's just wall-to-wall, nothing else. No news, no bit of DJ saying, I've just had such a festive weekend. I've been down to Oxford Street and I've just bought myself a whole bunch of Christmas presents. I'm right in the mood for Christmas, everybody. Are you? Here's Slade. And that's what it's a bit like that.
Surely that should have been a dislike, no?
No, I quite liked it.
Actually, that's made me think about my dislikes. I was going to go with disliking painting my ceiling, but now I'm going to go with people who are smug that they've done all their Christmas shopping now.
Yeah.
They're finished. Oh, I'm done. And you see people walking in town with their rolls of paper because they're going home to wrap all the presents they bought. That, it drives me mad. So I'm starting with dislikes with my
Do they fall into the wanker category?
They are total
massive
wankers.
Smug tossers.
Yeah. Have you done yours, Mark?
My don't like is...
No, I meant your Christmas shopping, you tool.
I thought I'd been invited there. I've done no Christmas shopping. I never do it early.
Ridiculous. No. I haven't done
mine. You can blow you smug about that as well now.
I'm quite happy with that. Yeah, do it all in one day, just knock it out.
I used to love the fact when you used to suddenly, my wife used to get really annoyed. We said, have you done all the presents for your nieces and nephews? And I said, yeah, I've been to the cash point.
Yeah.
I've taken the cash out. I've put them all in an envelope and I'm done.
That's Christmas sorted.
Absolutely. And they'll love me because I've given them 30 quid or something. And basically that's all sorted. And she just looks at me like I was scum. Just scum.
How long did you give them 30 quid for? Have you had
I
was always very, very generous as an uncle. That stopped when they were like 18 or 21. It stopped at a certain age. But I was always pretty generous.
I stop once you're out of full-time education, you're done.
That's really? Yeah. I still give all my nieces and nephews a right old...
How many have you got?
7.
I've got about 15.
And so I weigh them in for both birthday and Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Just quite expensive.
I do exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've got too many of that.
They're in their, some of them are in their late 20s now.
No,
I've got one who's 45. He's certainly not getting anything. He earns about twice as much as I ever did. If you're listening, you're not having anything.
I mean, also, we're veering into Christmas episode here.
Yeah, sorry. So, Martin, what is your dislike?
Don't like, right? Today, I don't like content creators because when you see them on the telly, right, these are people basically who are unemployed. They don't have a job. You know, all they've ever stuck online is a daft video of someone having an ice cream shoved in their face or a bucket of ice tipped over their head. It's meaningless nonsense. And what I've seen sort of more recently is this quite nasty TikTok trend where people to get views are going up to strangers, sticking their tongue out and pulling some very strange face at them, and they're filming this poor stranger in order to, you know, get...
Oh, they've got like a stooge doing the filming.
Basically, that's what's going on. And it happened in the tube only about 5 or 6 days ago to a poor disabled guy in a wheelchair, and he felt utterly spooked by these people who were using him for their content. And I think it's very sort of nasty, dark side of creating content that, you know, is going on. But I sent you guys a little 1 minute skit that my nephew has done. He is a tattoo artist, and he's created a most amazing viral video to advertise his tattoo studio. It's had nearly 20,000 views, and that's not bad, you know. And as you've seen, you know, the production values are just absolutely fantastic. The music is great. The humour is great. The way it's edited together is really very good, and a fantastic ending. So you know what Charlie tells me is that most people who are scrolling through rubbishy videos like this, their attention is kept only for about 2 to 3 seconds before they then scroll up to the next one. The art of this is to create a sort of mild tension at the beginning to draw people in, and I think that's what he managed to do with that sort of particular video. But I think, you know, there's two sides to content creation. I think a lot of it is absolute rubbish, but some of it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
there we go.
You do see it, and there must be millions and millions of things out there. You know, you see stuff where people are doing content like the thing you were talking about, and another member of the public will jump out and attack the guy who's doing the face pulling.
Yeah.
And it's not a setup, it's just somebody happens to be there, and
yeah,
but the guy who's doing the content really likes that as well, because although he's got a smack in the mouth, people like to watch that online as well. They like to see something like that happening, so that gets more views and they like it even more. That's why they do it, don't they?
It's a very worrying way of getting views, and I just think it's a dark side of the interweb which I'm not interested in viewing.
No.
Funnily enough, on the way down here yesterday, I was listening to the guy that actually invented the World Wide Web, the guy from England who, on Dead Island Discs.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
And he was saying that in the future...
Berners-Lee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something Berners-Lee, yeah.
That's right. And he was kind of saying something about that. He said any hate bait still gets you, you know, obviously listeners. And he was saying there's no reason that we can't stop hate bait. And in the future, we'll be able to tailor all these kind of... what our views and listening likes are to our own, you know, to our own sort of
preferences.
Preferences, yeah. That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Yeah,
there's no reason we couldn't.
Isn't that not the way algorithms work, though? Anyway,
it was all kind of about that, but you can actually change algorithms to suit your what your.
Can you do that without actually blocking things you don't like? Do you know what I mean?
If you listen to it, he does suggest that. Yeah, there's no reason that.
No, no, I know. Yeah. I know that's the way you can do it. But he said, is that the only way you can do it? It's just by thinking, I don't like the look of that. I'll just block it. I'll block it.
I'm not really techie, so I don't really understand all that.
You've got to go all through your settings, haven't you, in order to change the stuff that you may not like. But they still get you, which is why I'm getting Tim the Lawnmower Man at the moment, because he just fixes people's gardens. And then I've just ended up with garden because I watched a garden one, and that's it. And then
incredible how quickly your algorithm can change, isn't it?
Yeah. So quickly.
And it does feel sometimes that people are listening to your conversations, doesn't it? Mm. When something pops up that you've been talking.
We said this last week. Good friend of yours, who I used to go to college with you, and saw at your party, and I bumped into her in a pub about a month ago with a friend of mine, and we had a quick chat. So I told you that I saw Suzanne in the pub, and next day on Facebook and on Instagram, your suggested friend, Suzanne Lindsay.
Yes.
And it's like, literally, I've just said, I bumped into Suzanne the other day, la, la, la.
Mm. After you said that, could you mention that last time we were here, and I said to Alexa, I just said, Alexa, are you listening to me? And Alexa said, no, I'm not listening to you. I can only hear what you're saying if you command me to listen. It was something like that. You've got to say, Alexa, listen to this or whatever. But I actually don't believe that, because I've had things that I've just been chatting and Alexa absolutely hasn't been on, and I've been chatting in the kitchen and then got my phone and an advert for something we've been chatting about has come up. So I'm not entirely sure I believe it.
Next, don't like. Who hasn't done one?
I haven't done one. I don't like the fact that it's another thing that's very similar to what you were talking about, Martin. The fact that that reputable newspapers and news feeds are starting to put absolute shit clickbait online now. Mm. So instead of actually seeing a serious story to go onto the Guardian website, it will say things like, why midlife men are struggling to make and keep friends, or my mum says our family should share towels, what should I do? I mean, what sort of a bloody headline is that? It's just so unserious, isn't it? And the best one was, I've been in a sexless marriage for 35 years. What can I do? I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it? And all they want to do is get people to click. I mean, if it was the Daily Star or something that had that, you think, well, that's probably the demographic of the readers. But it's the fact that The Guardian and The Independent are starting.
Maybe there's an awful lot of people who have been in 35 years sexless marriages, and that's their demographic.
Possibly, yeah.
And they want to actually talk about it.
Yeah, possibly.
Because they think, shit, this stuff is not just me.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Metaphorically, just like me, I'm going to say
I really don't like the dumbing down of the news as well. I mean, I can't remember, we talked about that on the last one. I'm just furious with the BBC for what they did with Trump's thing, because although he absolutely was inciting people and all that sort of thing, every time something will come up on the BBC now that will be true, you will get Trump supporters and Reform UK reporters saying, yeah, but the BBC lies, the BBC puts up fake news. And the BBC can't now turn around and say, no, we don't, because they bloody admitted they did it. I'm just furious for them putting themselves in that position.
I wonder why there wasn't a furore at the time about it.
When they did it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's only just come out. I think it was a Telegraph article that actually exposed it.
Someone leaked some stuff, didn't they? Someone's leaked it, and they've investigated and they found that it was true.
Oh.
And it's not just the Trump thing, there's a few other things.
Yeah, it's really annoying, because it genuinely is, I think. I mean, there was that... they're already saying in America, aren't they, Republicans are saying the BBC is 100% fake news.
That's so
and
annoying.
You think, well, that's... It is probably about the only trustworthy news source. And now, you know, they've given people the opportunity. So that, it's all that sort of stuff that really annoys me.
It is. It's such a shame.
My dislike is now licking Martin's face.
Yes.
I'm nowhere near him.
Yeah, don't encourage him. He makes slurping noises.
My two chocolate friends have disgraced me this morning.
Have they?
They have disgraced me. Sheena very kindly bought a very nice lemon tarty thing.
Yeah, a bun, a big bun.
A huge great lemon bun.
Lemon
and we left it on the top for less than a minute. Fat Rudy just decided he was going to have it, and he did. And my other dog...
He must have eaten it very quickly.
Oh, he doesn't hang around. He won't see it. It's gone. It's gone.
Hold along. There was also a crumble pastry as well.
Not chew his food properly then?
No, it's gone pretty quickly. And all that noise you'll probably hear in the background is Arthur trying to get out the back door. Mm. So I do apologise about my dogs. They've been trained very, very poorly. I blame their mother.
My dislike is a bit of a third world one, really. Can't find all butter puff pastry.
No, it's a first world
problem. First world problem.
Yeah, they're all running around the bush trying to find all butter puff pastry.
Well, if they do, the only ones they'll find will have stork butter in them, because I'll tell you, it's very hard to find full cream butter.
What are you wanting to make with it?
Sausage rolls.
Christmas sausage rolls. Love a sausage roll.
Yeah, with a bit of apple in there and some. Anyway.
Don't spoil it with apple. For God's sake, don't spoil it with that. No.
Okay, I'll
pastry, sausage.
Where do you find really good sausage meat?
Waitrose. Or in a butcher's, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or you can mince your own if you like, but I'm not
you
that creative.
You could do, but, you know, if you've got better things to do, haven't you?
Yeah,
podcasts.
Going highbrow stuff here.
So there we go. So we're going to pop off for a break now.
We are going to pop off for a break.
And then we are going to come back with a slight change of the format, aren't we?
But a very good question from Hannah Louise.
Yeah.
So we're going to...
Who is one of our many listeners.
Regular listeners.
Yeah. So we'll be back in just a moment.
We're back for the second part of Homepot's Happy Hour, and we have a special question from an avid listener, Hannah Louise, who sent one in a while ago about if we could ask a question to a dead person, what would that question be? So obviously a bit of conspiracy theory or unanswered questions. So for example, Hannah's would be, she would want to know what really happened to JonBenet. The little girl, the little prom queen girl.
JonBenet,
whatever. Was it Ramsay or whatever her name was?
JonBenet Ramsay.
Ramsay, wasn't it? The little girl who used to dress up as a prom queen who was murdered. And then what actually happened to her? So that would be Hannah's question.
Right.
But if she could ask one question, she'd ask her, obviously, like,
my question
what happened.
Would be similar to that, would be, who is that person?
Well... That's what Google's for.
Jude's not dead, you can't ask him that.
No.
You know how in America, they have these little shows for...
Beauty pageants. Yeah.
Beauty pageants.
Very
yeah.
disturbing,
and she
it?
Was very Terribly. Beautiful, this little girl, dressed up like a, you know, a woman, obviously with lots of makeup. And then she was... they didn't find her for a couple of days.
They didn't find her for a few days, and then...
Did she disappear?
But she was in the house after all.
No, it was at home.
In her home, yeah.
It was at home. And then, of course, they think that someone who killed her... obviously knew her, because they left her very nicely and they left her all tidy and clean, and which is often a sign of someone knowing you.
Right.
So they obviously, but no one's ever, I don't think it's ever been arrested for it. And it is alarming, that stuff. The place I used to work, they did it for a weekend when I was up there, and it is the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your life. It's gruesome.
Beauty pageants.
The little beauty pageants.
Yeah,
these little girls,
they
they're just, it's horrific.
They're so disturbing, aren't they?
Oh, awful. Yeah. Just
it's
awful.
Just, they have suntans, you know, really brown mahogany skin and lots of
And they're
thick
tiny.
Makeup.
They're literally 6 or 7 years old.
Wigs, yeah.
Yeah, no, God.
Is there money in it?
Must be somewhere.
There's prize money, but you have to spend a lot of money to enter, and also you have to buy all the outfits, and the more money you spend, the best chance you have.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, obviously, you know, undercurrents around the sexuality of all.
Yes. All fairly gruesome, really.
Yeah.
That's quite... That you know, like you were saying then, you have to buy the outfits, and that made me think of the film I, Tonya. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yes.
And I thought it was quite interesting how the fact that her mum made her outfits and she didn't have all the lovely outfits, meant that the judges just looked on her unfavourably, right? You know, because I remember at the time when all that happened, everyone, oh, she's horrible. Everyone hated her, didn't they? Because because they were like Nancy Kerrigan. But you look back on it, you think how she was really discriminated against, wasn't she?
Definitely.
By that ice skating world.
Ice skating elite. Mm.
But even my daughter did Irish dancing, you know, at school age. And when it gets to the stage where you get to a certain age and you do have to have a suntan, you do have to wear a wig, you have to spend £500 on the dress. Right. My daughter said, I don't want to do that. I said, there's no point in being in the competition because you will not win anything. Yeah. Unless you become...
Have you got to look like one of Michael Flatley's girls, basically?
Yeah, and she's a really natural girl.
They all are fairly identical, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, definitely.
Well, they all have the wigs, don't they?
It's beautiful to watch.
Very good calves.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to need to doing that.
It's very shallow stuff, though, isn't it? I mean, it just encourages, it's all about image and how you look. I mean, I just think it's a very nasty world to put your kids into, surely.
Oh, totally.
Not for some people. So we're going to start with... The lovely Lona.
Well, that's good.
And I know exactly where you're going to go, because basically this is one of the questions that I was clearly going to ask.
And I bet Sheena as well. I want to ask Madeleine McCann. Presuming she's dead, that's what happened.
Very presumptuous that Madeleine's dead.
So, yeah, I really hope she isn't, but I would want to know what happened to Madeleine McCann.
Or are you going to ask her mother?
No, I'm not going to ask her mother anything because I do not believe the parents had anything to do with it. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, we've been through this before, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. So I'd want to ask her what happened, and I'd want to ask the guy. He's still alive, that German guy, whatever his name is, Christian...
Bruckner.
Yeah, I'd like to ask him what he knows. But yes, that would be my
person. What do you think happened?
Well, I've been up to the apartments and I've seen that where they...
Well, what a surprise.
Yeah, because we were on holiday there.
We stayed there as well.
Nosing around the apartments.
Where they went for something to eat is not that far from where the apartment was. Honestly, it really isn't. I don't think they did have anything to do with it. But
I very much doubt they had anything to do with it because if they did, they're doing a bloody good job of 15 years later still.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, it's hardly worth the effort, is it, if you're going to spend 15 years then... spending your whole life.
And the apartment is
her.
Right by the road, so somebody obviously either did go in or she got up and wandered. I don't know, but I don't believe that she was drugged, because I know that that's your theory.
How can you say that?
Because you said it.
I did say it.
When you say drugged, you mean like given something to keep her asleep?
The parents maybe gave her medicine or something. Like, I do not believe that.
Can I just say, I have a friend who's a doctor, and she said all their friends, when they go on flights, they do give them Phenygan or whatever to keep them calm and to quiet. So I think it's a normal thing. It was in those days, maybe not anymore.
But I think, because my sister had very similar sort of age children when they were going to Portugal and what have you, and they would do the same. I know it sounds, you know, people did that.
Oh, I've done that with my kids. I've been in the bar and they've been upstairs in the red bedroom. When we went to, what's that place in America that you gave us?
San Francisco.
No, Las Vegas, sorry. And John and I were down playing all the, you know, the games and everything. The kids were up in the room.
Yeah.
And we just checked on them every hour or three.
So I would like to ask
every hour or Wednesday. But I was winning.
I'd also like to ask...
I was on the street, love.
If I can have another one. I was going to ask Princess Lady Diana what really happened that night and about James Hewitt.
That's a good one.
Thank you so much for taking my second.
Do you not think we pretty well know what happened that night? I mean, I think the driver was a bit pissed. He was trying to get away from the paparazzi.
What
he
I'd like
the
to hear from is
certainly
the guy.
Certainly, don't know about old Hewitt though.
Is the guy who was the bodyguard? You don't hear anything. He's alive still, and he doesn't say anything about what actually
was
happened
he in
that
the car.
Night.
Yes.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Is he under some sort of huge gagging order?
Yeah, he must be.
Probably to not say anything.
I'd like to know if she was going to marry Dodi. Like, you know, was she? Or was she just having a little bit of a fling?
But I would like a definitive answer on Prince Harry's father.
Well, exactly. He's clearly the love child of Hewitt and Diana, isn't he?
Well, that's what
Harry
I'd like
is.
To ask
It's
her.
Obvious. It's
allegedly.
Just because it's the great big unsayable, but of
I
course
don't
it's
know,
true.
Because he does look like a lot. I don't know.
He doesn't look like any of them. He looks like James Hewitt.
Yes, he looks like his grandfather.
James Hewitt is his dad.
I thought the biggest. Exactly. I thought the most amusing thing at all about Harry and Meghan's wedding is that neither of their fathers were actually at the ceremony.
They'll be my questions anyway. So.
Well, I kind of had both of those down as mine as well, funny enough, because we're so similar. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, did Elvis Presley really die sitting on the loo eating a peanut butter and a fried, actually, banana sandwich. But I Googled it and they said definitely not. Oh. So I'm going to ask, you know, the Moore's Murders, the little boy Keith Bennett.
Oh, whether, good question.
Yeah, I'd like to know where he's buried and if he could just, for his family, just to be...
It's interesting, isn't it, that you know, if we lived in communist China, we'd have probably tortured that out of Brady by now, wouldn't we? And said where, but it's like if he doesn't want to talk, you can't. There's nothing you can do, is there?
It's
you
just foul. Well,
you can't threaten to lock him up for the rest of his life. He's already locked.
Is
up
Is he still
the rest
alive?
No, he's dead.
He died. Oh.
Yeah, he died
not
died
long
a few years
ago.
Though,
yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, they're both dead.
Relatively
now,
speaking,
yeah, they're both dead.
But yeah, I find it quite interesting the fact that. They've never been. All they can do is keep persuading him and say, please tell us. And if he just turns around and says, no, there's nothing you can do.
You just need sometimes to go back to 1960s Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And beat a serious confession out of the man until he tells
you. Brady? That's the sound of a Black Mariah backing up. Oh, dear.
So you do. And what would yours be?
I mean, they would have been trying to get this information out of him back in the times of the Sweeney, though, wouldn't they? So.
Waterboarding.
If I could ask a dead person anything, I'd like to talk to John Lennon.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Say, do you think there was any chance that the Beatles could have reformed?
Third. That's the third one.
That's the third one. Well done. And I was absolutely devastated the day that he died. And it wasn't necessarily because I was a big John Lennon fan, because I wasn't particularly. I always preferred Paul McCartney and George Harrison. But I absolutely love the Beatles. And, you know, I was only, he died not, how long, when was it? It was 1981.
8th of December 1980.
And so it was only 10 years off they broke up, which is less time than it was for Oasis to get back together, if you think about it. Mm. Although time went really slowly when you were young, so that seemed like forever. But I'd love to be able to say to him, was there any, and then just ask, I'd like to be able to ask. I'm presuming that if we could speak to these people, then we can ask them anything and they'd be fairly candid and tell us what was going on. So I'd like to know what were the reasons. Was it Yoko? Was it musical differences? You know, I mean, there were a lot of interviews that you saw with John Lennon and Paul McCartney in the years after the Beatles had broken up. And they were quite barbed answers they gave, you know, they were obviously, but you wonder whether, but they never seemed to actually hate each other, you know, they just, I think they just sort of, they were both superstars, they were both fighting for the main limelight. Apparently, Paul McCartney brought Maybe I'm Amazed to the Beatles towards the end of their career and said, how about this? And John Lennon just said, no, we're not having that. That's a load of your wet shit, you know, that we want something. And it's just such a brilliant song.
Of course it is.
But, you know, but that was so I'd like that's I'd love to know if there was any chance of the Beatles ever getting back together.
Going back to Desert Island Discs, I was listening to it on Saturday and it was Ronnie Wood and that was one of his.
It's a really good one, isn't it?
That is a good one.
Yeah,
he's
a good
really
one.
Good on it.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he? I thought, I just think, can you... Because he's so sort of normal, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
And you can't get your head around the fact that how are you ever normally in life going through thinking, well, I'm in the Rolling Stones. Yeah. And his mate is Ringo Starr, and he was really good mates with George. And he's just mates with all these
and
people.
And also, he's from a traveller family, isn't he?
He's from a canal boat traveller.
Yeah, on the boat.
Same
water.
As David Essex, he was as well, canal boat travellers.
And I love the fact he's never learned to read music.
Yeah.
And
I think
there's a brilliant musical talent to that, you know. And he's purposefully decided not to go down that route because he's got all the talent he needs without that intervention.
Musical snobbery.
And
he's the one who basically has kept the Rolling Stones together as well.
He's always been the peacemaker.
Yeah, he wanted to carry on. But I like the fact that he said that his dad used to say to him, he'd introduce him to mates and say, oh, this is my son Ronnie of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Ronnie Stones.
Yeah.
It just shows you if you let your children, you know, you're not hovering over them and just let them find their way, there's a lot more creativity in people, you know, just to give
them. Well, you've got him and you've got Paul McCartney who can't read music and could never play, and you know he did.
Can you read music, Mark?
After a fashion, I made myself learn about 15 or 20 years ago.
Because you know, he can play about half a dozen instruments.
Can you?
Yeah.
I play the accordion and a bit of guitar,
piano,
and piano,
drums,
and drums. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but I always say jack of all trades, master of none.
Can you
but
play anything you put in your mouth?
Have I can. I mean, I played in brass. I picked up things like.
I can.
I picked up things like clarinets, and I'm able to knock
after a couple of Guinnesses. Don't go there, honey.
I can knock out a very bad version of Stranger on the Shore on the clarinet, but so I understand the fingering.
Ridiculous. How can you possibly do that? There's no connection between the clarinet and any of the instruments you
don't
play.
Ask me. I don't know. It's just something that
just
I
have
do.
Have a feel
you know.
For it. I can play saxophone.
Yeah, I know. But can you read? But can you read music?
I can.
Were you taught it when you were young?
Yes, when I was learning violin and I did my exams and
theory. You had to learn music.
So yeah. You can play, if you can play sax, you could probably play a bit of clarinet as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same fingering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a
and
reed,
piano,
isn't it? Yeah.
And I can do tenor horn. I used to play tenor horn.
A little bit of
euphonium. No, that's trombone.
Trombone as well. Yeah, can you not?
No.
Different mouthpiece.
Euphonium and I started on trumpet and then I did euphonium and then tenor horn.
Right.
And violin was my main thing.
Oh. I used to play violin as well.
So did
yeah.
my daughter.
Yeah.
Really?
I made my son do the...
I hate India.
Right. I would like to ask Lord Lucan, who disappeared in mysterious circumstances... Yeah. What the heck happened? Where did he go? What did he get up to? And whatnot? That's what I'd like to ask.
Did he murder the nanny? Well, yeah.
Did he?
He murdered the nanny, housemaid stroke nanny. He did, yes. Well, he supposedly.
Well, that's why he disappeared, in theory. Yes. We assume that's why he disappeared. But, of course, you could ask him why he disappeared.
Me and my mum were doing a bit of tourism house viewing around Surrey, right? And we went to look at this little cottage. And as we were walking around it, the estate agent said, this is where Lord Lucan used to live.
Oh, wow.
And that's absolutely true, that is. And it was quite a down-at-heel place. It was no mansion.
Well, he didn't have an awful lot of money at the end, did he? He was a hopeless gambler.
Fair enough. And on this morbid subject, right, the second... dead person I would like to ask a question of is anyone who had their head chopped off in the French Revolution, right? Oh, because, right, hear me out. I think if you have your head chopped off that suddenly, your brain can't instantly just fade away. You must still be aware. So if you've been decapitated, is your head in a basket thinking, I've just had my head chopped off? That's what I would like to ask.
Was it straight out?
Well,
apparently in the times, it took ages to sharpen the blade. So when you got guillotined, it wasn't always that your head would come off in one go. It would take often two or three times. They'd have to do it two or three times with your head like half off before it actually chopped your head off properly.
I hope your daughter's very proud.
I suppose the thing is, though, you would be... you're face down, aren't you? So in theory, it would go through your spine first. And then that would,
it's not looking great for you. You've got to be honest.
That would do the trick, wouldn't it?
It's not looking great.
I can't believe that they had to have a few goes at it. I mean, this chopper was on a very heavy wooden block. Come on, man. That's going to go... Ba-ching.
Mine is going to be the classic all-time what happened.
You must. This must be your fourth...
Well, no, because I've had to rehitch.
Because you've lost all your others.
I know. And I want to know what happened with JFK. I want to know.
Yeah, but JFK wouldn't be able to tell you that, would he?
No.
Because JFK was the one who got shot.
Yeah, but
he would have worked it all out.
He would have worked it out. Who was shotting, why he got shot, what he'd done to get shot.
While he was dead.
Why he got shot, and how, or, you know, and then ask Lee Harvey Oswald what really happened.
Yeah, that he's the one to ask.
He is. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Was it really you, Lee?
No, it wasn't. Clearly wasn't. Because they got the US rifle... Olympic rifle shooting team to shoot from the plaza, from the window, and none of them got anywhere near hitting the target that would have been John F. Kennedy. So he clearly wasn't shot. He was obviously a patsy, but I'd like to know what really happened there.
Yeah.
Was it mafia based? Was it the CIA and the Russians? Was it a big conspiracy? Or a democratic hoax?
Yeah, I was thinking of Marilyn Monroe when I was going to choose her, because I'd like to know her part in the story.
Yeah.
She might know.
Was she just a terribly sad, depressed actress who couldn't have a baby, or was she secretly put down?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking
she was going to spill the beans on the Kennedys.
Oh, possibly, yeah.
She'd had them both.
And then there's Caroline Bessette Kennedy that was married, that went down in the plane with her sister. And
but she was apparently such an alky that she wouldn't have known, because she was so much wine in her, apparently.
Is that right?
Don't
look. They never found her. They didn't find her, did they? They haven't found them yet.
Haven't they? There's a film about it.
I don't think they ever found them.
Have they not?
I don't think they ever did, but I could be wrong.
Not sure.
Check it on Google.
Curse of the Kennedys.
Yeah. So I think Lee Harvey Oswald will be the one to talk to.
Definitely.
Did he die in a mysterious...
He was shot.
Someone shot him.
He was shot.
Yeah.
He was shot by someone.
Was he?
He was shot by someone. No, he was shot by a man who had a terminal cancer.
Oh, right.
He was shot by a man who had terminal cancer when he was coming out for his parole
hearing. But the man was... Because I often think to myself, if you had terminal cancer and you hated someone like, I don't know, plucking out the air, the President of the United States of America, you were a political opposition, you could say to the person with terminal cancer, you go up and shoot him and we'll make sure your family are all right for the rest of their lives.
That was a theory in the episode of The Blacklist.
Oh, was it?
Yes, they used to go and get terminally ill people and they used to just go and basically give them a load of money, sort their family out, but you had to assassinate people.
Right.
Until you, because you're never going to go to prison.
Yeah.
Because you only had a few months to live. Good idea.
It is quite an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. So how are we doing for time on our conspiracy?
We're doing well. I think it's time we went for another break, actually.
Excellent.
Second break.
Thank you, Hannah Louise.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah,
very dark.
Good one.
Very dark.
Dark.
Mm. Yeah.
Proper dark.
Yeah. And we'll be back in a mo.
Thank you. Right, a bit of paramedic corner. Today, right, we're going to talk about blue light driving.
Oh, yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
Right, because for the last couple of years of my career with the ambulance service, I wanted to do a job which didn't involve doing shift work, okay? So I trained up as a blue light driving instructor, which was Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So the last couple of years in the ambulance service, I was training the newbies how to drive ambulances on blue lights. Guess where the blue light driving is brilliant?
In a car park?
In a what?
Car park.
No, guess whether it's brilliant or not.
Central London's brilliant.
Sorry, guess whether.
It's brilliant to know. I think it would be really stressful.
I'd love to hear it. If done well, it's not. Yeah.
But it's fantastic. I mean, can you imagine? You're driving a vehicle and everyone's getting the fuck out of your way. It's brilliant. Of course, it's excellent.
On the way to football.
Do you have controls? Because in America, my friend was an ambulance driver,
yeah,
and she could control the traffic lights. She had a...
We don't have that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so she could turn them red for everybody and then she had it in her...
Right.
Thing. Yeah, so I wondered if they do in the UK, but we don't.
But I think, you know, there can be technology where when an ambulance is approaching that it will send a signal and switch the traffic lights. But we'd never had such control.
That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? If you could make all your traffic lights green, because it could be a bit hairy going through a red traffic light if somebody coming the other way has no idea you're coming.
It is, and people die honestly, really. What we teach the people going through red lights claiming that exemption is that if you have a crash or cause a crash whilst you're going through red lights, it will automatically be your fault, because people obeying the green light in the opposite direction are acting perfectly legally, and you know, very big accidents, crashes do occur.
Is it quite common?
Fairly, yeah, absolutely. So whilst, you know, I was being a bit flippant saying it's absolutely brilliant fun, it's something to be treated with maximum respect and, you know, not to be, treated loosely in the slightest. You might think that blue light driving involves just getting in the ambulance and putting your foot down and driving as fast as you can. Quite the reverse is true. I spent much more time when I was instructing the new starters, getting them to slow down in situations rather than speeding up. When you're in an ambulance and you charge too fast into situations, you're not giving the traffic ahead enough notice or enough time to move and get out of your way. So you start causing all sorts of incidents and accidents. By far the better way is just to go slowly into situations. Traffic will move out of your way and you will pass through, like, hopefully, like a hot knife through butter. But blue light driving, absolutely excellent. If anyone, you know, if you get the opportunity, everyone everyone should do it once. Do you know what I mean?
It
must be more so because you know you used to drive one of those cars, didn't
yes,
you? An ambulance car.
Yeah,
that must be so much more fun than an ambulance.
Completely,
because the acceleration on an ambulance can't be great.
Completely and 100%. It's completely different gravy. I mean, an ambulance is a very slow, lumbering thing. You can't get up to much speed in that. Whereas the fast response cars are souped up versions of the, you know, the standard sort of average road models. They're
automatics
powerful. Always.
Yeah, I thought they
in London always.
So you can keep two hands on the steering wheel at all times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised that a lot of ambulance services outside of London still use manual vehicles, and I've got no idea why. In London, all ambulances, all the cars are automatic because, of course, you want to do as little as possible because there's so much else going on around you. So, blue light driving.
When you were training people?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to, if it's not a real emergency, but you're training, are you allowed to just stick the blue lights on and say, come on then, here we go? Because you've got to have a go when it's not an emergency.
We are now, okay?
Right.
But I'll tell you, when I trained in the ambulance service, I wasn't able to train on blue lights because back then they didn't believe that the law gave them the exemption to train people on blue lights. OK, so we didn't do it. So for me personally, the very first time I drove on blue lights was the first real job that I was going to.
Blimey.
And that suggests that, you know, blue light driving is not a teachable skill, and it most certainly is. And because I didn't have that training, my God, I was bad at it at the very beginning sort of thing. Now,
did you ever have any bumps?
Oh, God, I mean, you know, crashes is kind of part and parcel of it. I never had a big one.
No.
But, you know, a lot of wing mirrors. I mean, I was going through a red light, ended up with a cyclist on my bonnet.
Did you?
Oh, God, yeah. And, you know...
I mean, what do you do? What if you're rushing to somebody who's had a cardiac arrest and you take the side of somebody's car out... Mm. What do? You can't stop, surely, because you
have to stop. Any crash, you've got to obey the law.
And then you immediately
you have
just
to
say, send somebody
get
else.
Onto control.
I've had a crash.
Yeah, you have to get stood down from that job. So, you know, it's a real shame. So, but, you know, we're just as subject to the law as all other drivers. So I could have potentially been prosecuted for having that cyclist ending up on my bonnet. But actually, the truth was, although I was going through a red light, he was wearing headphones and didn't hear my sirens. So.
Right.
You could perhaps call it 50-50.
Was he injured badly?
He limped off.
Did he?
You know, I mean...
He did limp, though. I mean, he wasn't, like, lying on the pavement.
Nothing like that, no.
Lucky it was an ambulance that hit me and not somebody else.
No, that's right. But it wasn't serious. But, yeah, he was certainly injured. So, but nothing happened in the end. Nothing came of it as far as I was concerned.
So what do you do? Do you just, like, swap details and stuff? So that...
Yeah.
So it's just like any other accident.
Absolutely.
Right.
We've got to provide details, and we pay out a lot of insurance claims for crashes that ambulances have. So, like I say, whilst it needs to be treated with enormous respect, it was one of the most enjoyable parts of the job. I never lost the thrill of blue light driving.
Really?
You know? But as I say, it's not joyriding, not in the slightest.
I want to go back.
Yes.
Well, I have actually just been checking in. I'm checked in now.
Well done, Stu. Well done.
So say you've got someone who's in a critical situation in the back of your ambulance.
Yes.
And you clip a driver and
yes.
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Surely you don't stop and take details. You just get them to the bloody hospital and have to worry about it later.
I would say that the one time where you might be able to not stop would be if you've got a patient, let's say, in cardiac arrest in the back and you're getting them into hospital. I think you could just say, explain to the other driver what's going on, hand them your mobile number and say, give me a call in 10 minutes and rush off sort of thing. Everyone would understand that. But really, in any other situation, if it's not life-threatening, you've got to stop and you've got to do the full exchange of details. So,
but the other side to that is if you're learning to drive, they should give you more information on what you should do under the circumstances. Because it might be in the highway code book or whatever, but a lot of young drivers, and myself included even, you hear the light and you want to pull over, but a lot of people are very unsure of what the protocol is. So why don't they teach that more when you're learning to drive?
I completely agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And drivers do panic. The number of times that cars in front of me on blue lights have just done an emergency stop literally in front of me just because of sheer panic. You know?
I think half the problem is as well that a lot of people are also terrible drivers. They never look in their bloody rearview mirror.
There is that.
And they don't know what's going on because they never look.
What I find infuriating is when you pull over and somebody else pulls out behind you and then they try and go
and then they try and follow the bloody thing.
Yeah, that irritates me.
The guy
me.
Behind you thinks, right, he's past me first.
Now
I'm just going to get
go.
Out. Yeah, I know, wankers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of them. I mean, that's the big danger of blue light driving. Two cars in front of you. First one pulls over. Second one thinks, why is he pulled over?
Yeah.
And will do a sudden movement out. Yeah. And if you're at that moment passing them two cars, you're instantly going to have a collision. So you have to think two steps ahead of other drivers and be hyper aware of everything that's going on. So it really is quite a skill, but it's very enjoyable when you can do it well, and it really is a massive thrill.
Are you taught when you do it that, you know, that old adage when you're taught to do your driving test that you've got to expect that everyone else on the road is an idiot and so you've got to be careful? Are you told that, and especially in an ambulance, that's like sort of multiplied?
Basically, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've got to be driving in such a way as so that you are accounting for other drivers' mistakes. Yeah, you have to.
And who gets to actually choose to drive? Do you fight over it with your partner?
If you're working in an ambulance with a crewmate, they do it in different ways. Sometimes they'll drive all day one day. Some crewmates like to just do a swap with every job, which is quite a nice way of doing it because it means you're attending to the patient every other job and driving the other time. Some do it 50-50 on the shift. So for the first 6 hours, you'll drive. Second 6 hours, you will attend to the patient.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to the crew as to how they want to mix it up, which is kind of a nice choice to have.
And do you ever get somebody who says they might be a brilliant paramedic but say, I'm not the best driver in the world, you're better off doing it?
Some people just prefer, don't particularly enjoy the blue light driving, you know. So, and they do say, you know, you drive because it's not really my bag.
Because, I mean, you might be absolutely great at anatomy and you might be a brilliant paramedic.
Yeah.
But they're totally different skills, aren't they?
They are totally different skills.
So you wouldn't necessarily be good at both.
No, I quite agree. Most people are bang into it.
Yeah.
As I was.
Right.
Like I say, didn't get even slightest bit bored. It gave me as much thrill 15 years after I started doing it as when I first started doing it. It just entertained the tits off me.
And did you just follow a sat nav?
You do follow a sat nav. Yeah, that's right. So you don't have to have any knowledge of London whatsoever. Yeah. But, you know, when you work in a local area, you get to know an area very well.
So, yeah.
And so usually you're not even using the sat nav, but it is there. All the technology is there to kind of guide you.
And can you go above the speed limit?
Of course.
Can you get any speed you like that's safe in theory?
No. Well, different services have different protocols. London Ambulance Services service says that ambulances can go at 20 miles an hour above the posted speed limit.
Right.
So on a motorway, you could go 90. In a 20 mile an hour, you could go 40, and so on. But,
Well, there you go. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
There you go. Lovely. So that was Paramedics Corner.
That was
Your job here, Stuart. Okay, so we're going to have a quiz. We're going to finish this with a quiz. I don't think we need to have a break. No need to.
We've had plenty of breaks.
So we're going to go straight into the quiz. So everybody, go and get yourself a pencil and paper.
And Google.
Half point. Can Lola get a half point for this?
She can. No. Well, yeah. I mean, she makes up the rules. She goes along, really.
Lola's definitely got her phone on her lap. There's something going on.
She's checking her tickets.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Sheena, have I got my phone on my lap?
During the break, Ilona did say to me that she was a bit fed up that we had the twins competition when she wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she'd quite like to have, but it is the way they are. And we're trying to think of novelty quizzes. And this one's a vague novelty one. I don't know how exciting you'll find it, but we'll go.
I won that one as well.
This quiz is called Acronyms. We've got a load of acronyms here. I haven't bothered counting them, so we'll just keep going until we get to the end of them. So I am going to say the letters of the acronym. An acronym, for anybody who doesn't know, is where something is shortened into letters rather than the whole words or the collection of words. So you're working out once we get going. So, so there's probably about 20 of them here, actually. We'll see how we get on, because obviously it takes a little bit longer to write these down than for me to give the acronym. So are we ready?
Mm.
Number one, ATM.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, you can write it in shorthand if you like. You know, you don't
could I put ATM?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it somewhere between the main word and the acronym. Right, next one, NASA.
Oh, wow. This is a bit harder than I thought it was going to be.
You should have done the Australian quiz, shouldn't you?
Some of them are much easier than others. I looked them up on the internet, and I think a lot of the first ones are American, and then they go a bit British. I could have maybe mixed them up, but I didn't. Right, next one, FBI.
Oh, God, an old one, good.
Arthur, get off that door.
Too late.
Okay, FBI. So following on from the FBI, it's the other lot, the CIA.
I was really hoping it was going to be like LOL and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I was expecting.
No, SWORC.
Oh.
No, none of that.
Yeah, that's what I was
expecting. Alona, number five, LOL.
Thanks.
LMFA.
Okay. I thought we were off to a good start with ATM, and now
you might find them getting a bit easier when they get a bit more British. The next one, number five, NATO.
Oh God, this is hard.
No, NATO's easy. I did know most of these. Yeah.
I've just remembered what it is.
Can you read upside down? She was reading upside down. NATO. Last
time. Okay, the next one is IBM.
Whew, blimey. I don't know that one. Do you know that
one? No.
I was hoping to cheat with you, Loni.
I know.
Oh.
Sorry.
Loni's...
She's just putting her hand over just, hers.
Well, it's like exams at school, isn't it? I don't blame you either. Next one, BMW.
Boring. Black man's willy.
I told you a long time ago, you are not allowed to say anything on this podcast is boring.
Oh, God. I don't know that one.
No.
You know what a BMW is, don't you?
Oh, it's a BMW.
Of course I do.
So you can try and work out from that.
Okay.
Next one, SWAT. As in a SWAT team rather than swatting a fly.
Oh,
I used to think I was clever, and now I know I'm not.
Swats, they were brilliant, weren't they?
In very big.
We'll say that at the end. Okay, you up with us? The next one is ABTA. That's for somebody who...
You'll know that one, Stuart.
You must know that one, Stuart. ABTA. Yeah.
Well, I know what it is.
I know this one. Yeah, I know one.
Arthur, leave that door alone.
Poor old boy.
Okay, the next one is, you see this on your credit card bill, APR.
Oh, yeah.
It's all to do with, as a clue, in case you're not sure, it's all to do with interest.
Yeah.
Got that one.
Okay, the next one is ASBO.
Yes. We all have several.
Got that one. Yeah, got that one.
More than halfway through now. Okay. So the next one. Bloody hell, I've lost it. BAFTA. BAFTA. The next one's my favourite one.
Hang on, I can't write it down.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
God, there's a lot of words to write down BAFTA. If you know it.
You can shorten the words. Are you keeping up with this?
Yeah, I'm there now.
The next one is camera. CAMRA.
She knew your pictures.
It's my favourite.
You're too smart.
I remember now. I remember this one.
Oh, I know words, but I can't think of it.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah. If you remember this, you have to speak like that.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
I don't know.
And have a beard and a satchel.
I have no idea.
Okay, not many more to go now. Mm-mm. Six more. The next one is just a CBE. It's Martin MacArthur CBE.
Can he be asked?
Can he be asked?
Yeah. I think I know this one. Yep. Good, okay. Crack on.
Something a bit like the Sweeney, the CID. Much more British now.
Yeah.
Four more.
I was going to tell a funny story. When I used to work for... No, I won't.
D. Next one. D-A-B. D-A-B. As in the radio.
Oh, yeah. No.
Not sure. I know that. Yeah.
How about the people that look after your motor? D-V-L-A.
I know that one. And by the way, they're useless. ever tried to ring them?
Rubbish.
That's one of these ones that, because during the pandemic, they all started working from home and now they refuse to go back in the office. Apparently, they're really struggling to get things done now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their work involves the opening of envelopes, which you can't do from home. FTSE.
Oh.
You're looking up your shares. It's the FTSE.
I've got FT. I'm guessing here.
And finally, what you might need to get a lot in this quiz, your GCSE.
Is that 19 or 20?
What's 19?
I love all these quizzes when all you're is just moaning and groaning from the other side.
Have
of
we
the
got 20 or 19?
I don't know. I didn't count them up.
No, that's not. I've got 19.
Okay. Yeah. I think we might have 20. I left one of them out because I thought that's going to really set somebody off. That one.
I used the word cock.
Left it out.
Somebody said this on the radio the other day. GCSE.
Would you like number 20? A number 20. No, you can't.
Yes. If I get it or not.
No, we'll leave
it
at that.
Cracking on.
Can we just have WHU?
No.
That's a good one.
Right. Are we all ready?
Think so.
Didn't have LOL, did we?
Okay. So, ATM.
Automatic teller machine.
Automated teller machine.
Oh, that is so cruel. Yeah, you're not giving me that.
Automated,
did you?
Yes.
Did you? Okay, so I got that wrong.
And that's one of the ones where people often say, do you know where there's an ATM machine around? Yeah. And that's when you're getting it wrong, isn't it? Automated teller machine. NASA.
Do you not put at the moment?
National Aerospace Science.
Aeronautics and Space Administration.
North America.
Exactly right. Well done.
So if I put Aeronautical Space Agency, do I get that wrong as well?
National Aeronautics. Oh, you can have. If you did National Aeronautical, we'll let you have that one.
Aerospace.
I think we'll let him have that one.
Thank you.
FBI.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Everyone knows that.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah.
Right. Mrs. Wake.
Oh, no, not me, thanks.
CIA.
No, thanks.
Central Intelligence
Agency.
Agency. That's actually what I did right.
Oh, did you?
I did actually. I'm not cheating.
You changed it at the last minute.
I'm not cheating.
Right. NATO.
I got Intelligence
National
Agency.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Oh, yeah. I got that.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah.
I got a half for four.
IBM. Anyone know what that one is?
No idea.
Something works.
International Business Machines.
Oh, no.
You get what that is?
No, did you get that, Stuart?
No, I didn't.
Oh, happy days.
If I got international, do I get half a point?
No.
I just write International Rescue for all of them.
Because you've got one of them right. Right, anyone know what BMW is?
Bavarian Motor Works.
That's right.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What was it?
Bavarian Motor Works.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Based in Munich, Bavarian Motor Works. SWAT.
Oh, yes.
I didn't even get this one.
Do you know?
Surprise something attack team.
Surprise. That's not the first word.
Special weapons and tactics.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
There used to be some characters in early Viz's and it was called SWAT, special weapons and no tactics. And there were big lantern-jawed Americans who would just blow everything to pieces.
I wish the S did stand for surprise.
Yeah, no. Special,
that would be great.
Special weapons and tactics. APTA.
Association of British Travel Agents.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't get that.
Did you not get that, mate? APR?
Annual percentage rate.
Annual percentage rate?
Yep.
Yeah, got that. Happy days.
Got that.
ASBO?
Antisocial Behaviour
Order.
That's it.
Well, yeah, we got that. Lovely.
I knew that, but I couldn't get it wrong.
Antisocial?
Yeah.
BAFTA?
British Association Film TV Award.
No.
British Academy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the F is.
Film.
Theatre.
No. Oh, it's British Academy of Film and Television Arts.
Well done. Oh. No, I didn't get that. I'm rubbish at this.
I'm going to give myself half for that.
You don't go around giving yourself half, Stu.
I think you find
you
we do.
You win everything anyway.
I think you find we do.
Camera.
Campaign for Real Ale.
That's the one.
Do you know what? I knew what that
it's
was,
the
but
campaign
could I think
for Real
of the
Ale.
Campaign? I've just got Real Ale.
My favourite one.
I didn't get that.
CBE.
Commander of the British Empire.
That's right.
I didn't get Commander.
Oh, I thought you said E, and I'm thinking, what's
no,
the
No, CBE, sorry.
Can you say it in English, please?
CBE.
If I got British Empire.
No.
Thanks.
That's part of her contract.
No,
it's part of her contract.
They just back each other up.
Honestly, it's part of her contract. She wrote it in at the start of the year.
CID.
Criminal Investigation Department.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
DAB.
Digital.
Analog.
Audio.
Oh.
Yeah. Digital. Band. Broadband.
Broadcasting.
I think I'll give myself a half for that.
You can have a half for that. You can have three quarters if you like, Mark.
I'm just going to give... I got two out of three, so basically...
DVLA.
Driving vehicle.
Driving license vehicle.
Department of Vehicle License.
Driver and vehicle licensing agency.
Oh, I put authority.
Oh, I didn't.
I put authority, so I'm getting that.
I don't think.
I got half.
It all sounds very iffy, your scoring these days, but anyway.
I got that completely wrong, but I'm giving myself a half.
Well, give yourself one and a half if you like, Mark.
I'm the only one that's actually scoring
properly. FTSE.
Financial Time Stock Exchange.
Okay.
And finally, something which I've got fewer of than probably the rest of you. GCSE.
Is it a general certificate in secondary education?
Yes.
I think I'll give myself 2 points for that.
I think that's a, why not no, three. I think I'll just get a generous one for that.
I put state education rather than secondary. I think I can have a half.
They don't do GCSEs in Scotland, do they? They call something different up there. Hires, aren't they? Is that what you did?
Well, GCSEs and
hires. Were you still living in Scotland then?
Yes, you did those, I lived there till I was 19.
11.
That's not bad.
It's not right.
I'm going to ask for a dispensation, special dispensation, because I wasn't sure what sort of quiz it was. So at the first one, ATM, I put at the moment. Because I thought it was going to be that sort of quiz. And you did as well.
I said, so I did very
I didn't realise it was that kind of quiz. I thought it was going to be LOL, sealed with a loving kiss, and all
you
that sort of stuff.
You guys would have got 10 out of 10 for that.
And in no way is either of you having a point for
having
a party moment.
No, sorry.
I encouraged you to do it because I thought, oh, that would be something I could do.
You should have done the Australian one.
I put at the moment.
I put at the moment because I thought it was that kind of quiz.
You can decide between you what you want to do. Okay. What did you get?
I got 9.
9. Simo?
Oh, I need to add up with my extra half.
I'm a dunce. I got 6.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I scored myself properly.
And you didn't cheat, but you did seem... Right, hold on. You seem so confident.
One, two, three.
Miss, please.
Come on, Stu.
One, two.
How many? Come on, then.
1, 2, 3, 4,
come on,
5, 6, 7.
The readers are getting bored now.
8, 9, 10, 11.
It's just the winner by the sounds of it.
14, 15, 16.
16.
Yes,
well, there you go.
We'll call that 15 because he's not having that number one.
Okay. So there we go.
Can you spell bitter and twisted, or is it just like a natural thing you have?
So there you go. So that's the quiz for this week, and we'll I'll do another one of those in a few months' time with the sort of acronyms you like.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're off now. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time.
It's been
with a Christmas special.
Special Christmas special.
Yeah, we can't
Christmas
wait. Special.
We can't wait.
Excited. Am I invited?
Yeah,
of course you are.
So, you are invited. Now, can you better say, no, you're not.
No, you're
actually.
Not, actually. Yeah. You've had your audition, you didn't pass. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll all be able to turn up in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll see you then.
Ciao, then.
Rock and roll.
Bye-bye.
Homer Potts Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.